Good morning. The title of this morning's lesson is Pray on the Devil. The scripture reading will be coming from James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. That is the book of James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. I'll be reading from King James Version this morning. I'll give you time to flip through. I know some people have smartphones that allows them to get that faster, but for those that are going old school, we give you some time. If you have it, say amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That was James chapter 4. Verses 7 through 10. May the Lord have a blessing on the hearers and doers of his word.
Amen. Amen. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from river to river to the ends of the earth. Amen? Let me see it. Once again, good morning. It's good for us to be here once again for to worship God in spirit and in truth. And my aim, my goal today is to present to you in your hearing an opportunity to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be found in the church that Christ has purchased with his own blood. Not simply to join the church, but to join yourself to God, that God might add you to the church that he purchased with his own blood. And you need to understand that you can do that. If that's in the front of your mind right now, I need you to just materialize that you might obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's an old cliche, but it's very true. Time is at hand. Is at hand. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So we're going to just offer you this invitation right now. So when the lesson is through you, without hesitation, you can just get up and walk to the front of this congregation, and the brother will take your request and will baptize you into Christ right today, right now, without any hesitation. But just know that you must hear God's word. First Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So I need you to hear it and obey it. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. It says in John 8:24, I tell you truly, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We've got to repent of those same sins, not comparing ourselves to those who have sinned just as we have sinned, or even greater in our minds than what we've sinned. He says to the people in Siloam, unless you repent, Luke 13:3, you're going to die as well. You're going to die. Don't compare yourself to those people. We must repent of our sins. We must confess Christ. More than anything else, we talk about everything and nothing. Jesus said, if you confess me, Matthew 10, before men on earth, I will confess you for my Father, which is in heaven. Let's talk about the Christ right now, that he might speak about us in heaven, giving glory to God. And we must most of all be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. It's simple and plain. We must be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Well, Brother Collins, you know, I've been baptized already, but have you been baptized according to the apostles' doctrine? Have you obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart which the apostles have delivered that comes from the mouth of God and the spirit that God has given us throughout all ages? He says in Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. That's what we're looking for, church. We're looking to walk in the newness of life, not walking as we've walked before in the past, in the beggarly elements of this earth, groping in the darkness, looking for God. God is present in our lives. He's able and he's willing. Don't keep him waiting. Obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to read in your hearing as we begin this lesson this morning called Pray for the Devil. From the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. Romans 7, 15 through 25. Pray for the devil. Amen. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would not do, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, I ultimately serve the law of sin. We want to start this morning by asking an age-old question. And that question is, what's eating you? What's eating you? Think about that as we go through this lesson. What's eating you? You see, the food chain has many links. And those links go from top to bottom, and each devours the other. As one commentator has said, there's neither vengeance nor remorse in the desert. There's neither vengeance or remorse in the wilderness. Eating is simply a matter of survival. And those high on the food chain are not angry or embittered at those they eat. They're not angry, they're just eating. Amen? Hunger motivates the chain. Parents must feed their offspring to survive, and so the life and death struggle continues day after day after day. And it's been that way throughout all ages, from Eden even up until now. I'm sure many of you have watched those nature shows where on TV where predators stalk, capture, and they just devour their prey. Even while they kick, struggle, and scream, there is no mercy at all, and there's no escape from the imminent death that awaits them. Now, however timid you might feel about this process, there is a serious fascination with the reality of watching a lion single out a lone animal from the herd. Stalk that animal until that prey is within reach, and with a quick charge, he springs out, and without any conscience or guilt, dispatches that prey ruthlessly. I want you to keep that in mind. Ruthlessly dispatches of that prey. Once the prey is chosen, there's no pity. There's no pity at all. The devourer nor the terror from the one that's being devoured changes anything. Nothing's changed. There's no remorse. We're talking about ruthlessness here. There's no remorse. There's no mercy. There's no pity. And there is no forgiveness. The hunter kills the prey, and that's it. That's it. This lesson this morning is clearly about Satan. And I fear that sometimes we more than not, we fail to appreciate the reality of this present-day evil in our lives. Among many descriptions of Satan, Peter spoke of him as a lion, and we are the prey. And we are warned in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, keep your eyes open, keep your head on a swivel, look around. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Let me read that to you again, because I think sometimes we take it for granted that Satan is real. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he's not your friend. He's not. As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter used this analogy to describe Satan as an enemy of ours. And he features him just like a lion. But the analogy breaks down because in contrast, the real lion seeks his prey only to live. But Satan as a lion, he seeks and destroys his prey out of anger, not just to live. He's going to destroy each and every one of us if we allow it out of anger and vengeance. He's going to destroy us out of resentment and bitterness. He's going to destroy each and every one of us that are weak and apart from the herd. He destroys for the sake of destruction. This is the reason. The reason that the scripture teaches us. Satan has been cast down and seeks vengeance. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 12. Listen to what God says. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath. Oh, he's kind to you, isn't he? And we fiddle with him all the time. We meddle with sin like it's nothing. But God says he's come down here to this earth and of the sea. He's come down with great wrath because he knows that he only has a short time. He's not playing with you. He's not playing with me. But we take it like it's cavalier, like Satan doesn't exist. Like nothing's eating us. The book of Luke during the supper. And while the disciples argued about who was the greatest, I see Satan just lurking in that room as well, trying to drag him into eternal torment. He was a predator and he continually seeks his prey. So he's in that room during the supper. And one of the more chilling things revealed in the scripture is the statement that Jesus made to Peter prior to Jesus' arrest. Just before Peter betrayed him, Jesus turned to Peter and he said these words, and it is chilling to me. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. It's terrifying to me. It's a terrifying thought. Because the reality here is that Satan knew Simon Peter's name. The reality here is that Satan knew Simon's weaknesses. The reality here is that Satan knew just how close to Jesus Peter was, and he didn't like it. He also knew he wanted to sift Peter to see if he could withstand the test. Too many of us test ourselves with sin. We don't even give Satan a chance to come along and do it. We fall out there in ourselves and think we're strong enough to resist. Let me just get a little bit of this. I can tell a little lie. But can you deal in a little bit of infidelity? I want you to think about what Jesus said and ask yourself, does Satan know my name? Does he desire to sift me or you? Is Satan lying in wait and stalking me like a predator after prey? Just like the lion, Satan has no remorse and no conscience. You see, he doesn't eat us to live. He eats us to destroy us. And we need to stop playing with sin. There's no pity. He gives us no mercy. There's no fair rules of conduct. We can't say, you know what? You're cheating, Satan. That's not in the rule book. He's an adversary, and he is absolutely ruthless. If you need more convincing of that, look at the history among men. We can only imagine the beauty of the Garden of Eden and the fellowship that existed between God and man. We can only imagine that. We're so far removed from the goodness of God and his mercy in that garden. Sin ruined Eden and ruins man's life, and it has never, ever been the same. Our lives have been corrupted. The shame of sin has plagued us, and death has become our lot. Satan, knowing all this, he lied to Eve without compassion. You shall not surely die, Genesis 3 and 4. Did he care that we would lose fellowship with God? No, he didn't. Did he care that we would be exiled from the garden? No, he didn't. Did Satan care that we would die both physically and spiritually? No, he didn't. He intended to do exactly what he did, to bring misery and destruction and death in the lives of his prey, all of us as mankind. He intended to do that, and he continues to do it to this day, and we allow it to happen. We smell sin coming down the street because he's not upwind. He don't care if he's upwind or downwind. We're his prey. We smell him, and he's still coming. He knocks, and we let him right in. He's all about destruction. And we become a part of that in our lives as well. There's so many people in this world that just love evil. It is just, it's mind-blowing to me. Love evil. Love to lie. That's evil. Might not think of it as you love to cut your eyes at me. That's evil. We love it. Love to gossip. That's evil. And Satan makes us his prey. We become prey for the devil. The broken trail of human error due to Satan's influence, it can be traced. Look at the death of Abel by the hand of his brother Cain. Look at the increase of sin until God sent the flood upon the earth. Look at the betrayal of Esau and Jacob, prey for the devil. Look at the sale of Joseph by his brothers. The cruel treatment of Israel in Egypt by the Pharaohs. Look at the cycle of sin among the judges, pray for the devil. Look at the repeated sins of the kings of Israel who were idolatrous all of the time. Look at Israel's captivities among the nations. Look at the slaughter of the infants in Bethlehem, pray for the devil. Look at the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, on that cross, the martyrdom of the saints. And even to this present day, the turmoil of sin in society and the acceptance of sin we have in our own lives, it's a struggle. It's a personal struggle, Paul says. The things that I want to do, I don't do it because something is eating me. What the hell is eating you? You better get to find out what it is. Never once, not one time, has Satan ever said, that's enough. No more. I'm satisfied with killing folks now. Never said it. Not one time has the devil wished for the salvation of a single soul. He doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want me to be saved. That is not his goal. Not one time has he ever been satisfied with killing Christians. Salvation is not his goal. Not once has Satan ever allowed a single sinner to go free out of pity. He's not a fisherman like some of us are. Well, this fish is a little bit too small. I think I'm going to take my hook out of him and do what? I'm going to throw him back. How many of y'all have been thrown back? Not a one of us have ever been thrown back by Satan at all. He doesn't have any pity on us at all. He's never satisfied. Looking at the torment of the rich man in Hades in Luke 16 tells me he's never satisfied. It didn't do anything for his satisfaction to have more victims. Listen. 8 million Jews were sent to their deaths in concentration camps. That didn't satisfy him. The murder of countless blacks in slavery. That didn't satisfy him. The Irish Rebellion of 1798 with a death toll between 10,000 and 30,000 men and women did not satisfy him. Satan never gets enough. He comes in and he suddenly tries to kill us as well with the same old lie. God did not say that you could be baptized. I've been baptized already, Brother Collins. You ever see him do this little gesture in football when the running back gets the ball and he runs for 10 or 15 yards and he gets up off the ground and he starts doing this? He says, feed me because I'm eating. We got to stop feeding into Satan because he's eating us. I don't think you got me this morning. We got to stop feeding to the lies. We got to stop feeding to the innuendos.
We got to stop feeding to the selfishness that's within us. We got to stop feeding within the darkness that lives inside of us, and let's find out where God is in our lives.
Let's make it a little more personal here. We're going to get down. Some of y'all want to go look at the game. You want to feed into that. Let's make it a little personal here. Satan has no mercy. He is ruthless. Listen to me. He is, you ever met anybody that you thought was your friend? And they stuck you in the back so hard with that knife, you still bleeding from it. You think about it from time to time, and you said, why in the world did I befriend them? Some of us still have the knife stuck in our back. Listen to me, Satan is not your friend. He's not. He's ruthless. Have you ever lost a relative that's not prepared for eternity? Pray for Satan. You ever lost a son or a daughter to a drunken driver out there who's just satisfied himself all night long with liquor till he couldn't even walk, and he goes out and he kills somebody? It's pray for Satan. Are your relatives being led astray? Are you being led astray? Are you walking away from God? Only the devil can rejoice in such a thing, and he is never satisfied. It's all about the pray. It's all about you and me. Pray for the devil. He's asked God to have us. That hadn't changed. It wasn't a one-time thing that he asked Jesus for Peter. He's asking God for us every day that he might sift us as wheat. He's asked to have you, and he's asked to have me. His hatred knows no limits. And you're not excluded from that. It's a hard pill to swallow when someone hates you, doesn't it? We can't take that. But don't take it from Satan, because he hates you. And you need to know that. He hates you. Look at the havoc among the churches. Look at the havoc among the evil presence of Satan among us right now. He destroys fellowship among believers. Amen. We're not going outside these doors. He destroys it right here. Right here. He destroys friendships. They are ruined because he is eating. The cause of Christ is a hissing and a byword because he allows us to fall into his traps, and we eat and pick and devour one another. What's eating you? Denominations, they fall into the grip of his error. Sinful doctrine abounds everywhere. You cannot find one denominational church in the scripture because God has not authorized it. Satan created it in the mind of man because he's eating. I want you to get that. You'll never get to heaven in that denominational church. Christ did not die for that. Satan created it, and he continues to eat at us. Men have gone awry against the natural desires of men and women due to the curse of sin on this earth. The prey being taken by the predator is a result of the loss we suffered at Eden. Listen to me. Satan is loose among us. He's loose. And the worst horror films from Hollywood can never match the reality of who Satan is. You know, sometimes we take it for granted and we say, you know, that little boy ain't nothing but a devil. That cannot match the reality of who Satan is. Halloween's about to come up. We think it's all cute. It cannot match. There's not a haunted house that they can create that can match the ruthlessness and the devastation that Satan can cause in our lives. We are not a match for Satan at all. Some people want to squash their own sins. Good luck. Let me tell you something. Satan lies in wait for each and every one of us to make us his prey. But then modernism comes along. All these people that are smart and educated, they've got all these degrees. We're modern. Modernism comes along, and it says that the fear of Satan is due to paranoia. They said the fear of Satan is due to mental sickness and schizophrenia. My question is, have they lost their minds? Because if that was true, that would be a welcome relief for me. Just a little mental retardation, and I got to get over that, and I can go to heaven? No, that's not it. Satan is real. He's not merely psychological. He is real. In Job chapter 2, the Bible says this in verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from where have you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, I'm come from to and fro in the earth, and I'm walking up and down it. Satan is roaming about to and fro about this earth. He's walking about it looking for you and for me, and he will eat you if you don't resist him. Age-old question once again. We got to get down. The game will be on in a minute. What's eating you? 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 When something is eating you, it's consuming your thoughts. Satan consumes our thoughts when he's eating us. What's eating you? It's consuming your time. Satan is eating our time. We don't even want to be on time for church, let alone come on a Sunday. Oh, on Wednesday, Katie bought a door on Sunday night. He's really eating in. That's another lesson, Brother Colin. When something is eating you, it's consuming your energy. We go out all night long, and it's time to come and serve God in spirit and truth, and we don't have enough energy to even do it. Because something is eating us. That I would do, I do not. Why? Because of the sin that lives not just in me and you and you and you. Something is eating at us. And in a few minutes, if we don't get it right, we're going to be like a carcass. Our soul is going to be laying there as a dead carcass. Because he eats and eats and eats, and he never says enough. Never says enough. And destruction lies in his path as he goes along this earth, taking out you and me, taking out our loved ones and those that are our friends. But it's only in Christ. Ooh. It's only in Christ that we have any hope of survival. Each of us have felt the power of Satan every time we sin. We've all been wretched as Paul was under the curse of sin, Romans 7. Wretched, wondering who shall deliver me from this body of death. And this roaring lion has claimed all of us as victims, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We've all been victimized by Satan. But Paul rejoiced in that victory. He says in verse 25 of Romans 7, I thank God. Boy, what a statement, huh? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that God has saved me from the clutches of evil. And we say to ourselves sometimes, and I ain't never going back. Yet we tell another lie and start to get eaten all over again. Let me tell you something. If God has saved you from the clutches of evil and sin, you don't need to go back. But we all stumble. We all sin and fall short of God's glory. What we need to do is repent of those sins and stop being eaten by Satan. Have fellowship with God and one another once again and walk in the light as he's in the light. There's death and disease and sickness in the darkness of our souls because we're allowing Satan to eat at us and you leave and you come back and eat again. And all we're doing is decaying on the inside because we don't respond to God. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But God's grace is sufficient for me.
And it's only through an obedient faith that we tap into that grace. Ephesians 2:8-9. It's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God that we accept the grace that comes from God through faith. It's by the remedial power of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from each and every one of our sins. It's by that blood that Satan can be and has been conquered all of our lives. Not a one of us in here can say that. Not a one of us in here can. We can't deny it. All of our lives, we have feared the devil. Who in here hadn't been scared of the devil? Who hadn't been scared? I know I used to be scared. Used to be. I ain't scared no more. I'm from Gramercy. All of our lives, we fear the devil because of sin and death. We fear death, but we don't fear sin. The phrase says man will give up everything in his life except for his sin. Because we like to see Satan eating. But Jesus came as the incarnate word. He's come in the flesh, and he's changed all those things. He's endured temptation for you and me. He's come in the flesh, and he's resisted sin for you and me. Jesus has come in the flesh, and he's crossed up Satan by conquering death and setting us free from the grips of evil. John 8:32, if Jesus Christ sets you free, you shall be free what? Indeed, we will be free. Amen. Indeed. Release from the grips of evil. The Hebrew writer says it like this in Hebrews 2:14-15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We have been set free. Thank God for Jesus. But the reality is that weak and hapless prey has little chance against a prowling lion. But we have Jesus on our side. And when you warned Peter about Satan desiring to have him, Jesus also said, but I have prayed for you. Here we go. Oh, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Those of us that are Christians who are weak in the faith, that are about to be singled out by the power of Satan, we need to be able to return to God and strengthen our brethren. Because Satan is never, ever satisfied. And yet while time remains, the work of the devil continues. The life and death struggle continues. And he is eating at some, and he's even devouring more of us. And he's doing it without remorse. He's doing it without conscience. There is no pity. I need you to get this. There is no mercy. There is not one time that the devil has ever wished for the salvation of a single individual. But if you're ready to stop running with the devil and walking with God, Jesus is waiting. If you're ready to stop running with the devil, amen, and walk with God, Jesus is waiting. And there is mercy, and there's no fear of death. Because in Christ we've been set free, and we've been granted the opportunity for salvation. We have become prey for the devil. And why? Jesus Christ is our reality. The question again that I beg of you this morning is, what's eating you? And why is it eating you? God has given us Jesus Christ, his son, as a propitiation for our sins. He's given us Jesus Christ, God's son, who has conquered death and has given us life. Yea, it's no more I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Amen. In me. The invitation of God has been offered to you.
stop running from God and running with the devil. Oh, I'm offering you a chance to just run up this aisle. And you know what? You don't even have to run. You can walk. You can crawl. I'll meet you halfway, but just come. Stop allowing Satan to just eat at you. Repent of your sins, those of you who are Christians already. Stop allowing sin to just eat at you. Let's walk into fellowship with God once again. Satan is a strong adversary. And you cannot defeat him by yourself. Jesus says, listen, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and I'm the one that's going to give you rest. If you got a burden of sin, bring it to Jesus. And let's bring it right now. Let's become Christians right now in good standards with God. Stop playing these games with our lives. Let's work on our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. If we can help you to do that, why don't you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song?
There's a